So this happened to me at some point between the cusp of fall and winter last year, 2019, with no pandemic raging yet. At the time, my husband and I both worked weekend night shift jobs, him at an IT service, and me as a CNA in the local hospital's ICU. As we had no reason to be up and awake during the day, we lived a rather vampire-like schedule, sleeping all day and staying up at night. 4 days off, 3 12-hour shifts a week. It worked. The best part about being a night dweller is the fact you can go, or used to be able to go, in the middle of the night to do your grocery shopping. No lines, no hustle and bustle. You just go at your own leisure and dodge the occasional pallet of stock or the graveyard shift worker who's filling up the shelves and probably wishing that everyone present would just quit taking things away right as he stocks them. Anyway, it's 2 a.m, peak energy time for me and the hubs. The Walmart is in a pretty decent part of the town and everything's well lit, so I typically don't feel nervous walking around in the middle of the night. Hubs did tours in Iraq and has a quite good head on his shoulders, so even less reason to be concerned, right? Right. As we walk through the entrance, my eyes immediately drift towards a sensational selection. I have ADD and I'm a pain to shop with according to him, as I tend to wander off when something neat catches my attention. Unbeknownst to me, Hubs noticed a small gaggle of young adults behaving rather immaturely, i.e. riding around in the electric handicapped cars, intentionally smashing into displays, causing some general havoc. Oblivious to all of this, I'm still wandering around while he patiently follows after, filling our cart here and there along the way. Hubs sees his kids causing more trouble at the back of the store near the food, almost shoe section, but once again, my attention was on more important things, like looking at the blind bag toys I've absolutely no need for. We make our way to the end of the shopping journey and head towards a self-checkout since they don't bother staffing the actual lanes in the middle of the night. Whilst he scans the bags, I excuse myself to use the restroom to go after a couple of Pokemon on my Pokemon Go game. I dilly-dally long enough that he's checked out and back at the car by the time I come out, so I make my way over to the compact SUV, modern-day station wagon we own, where he's busy loading the groceries into the trunk. Hubs is very particular about how things are packed, which is fine with me, so we have a system. He loads, I return the cart to the cart holder thing. Whilst I wait for him to finish loading, I hear a bunch of snickering and laughing coming from the car to the right of ours. So the car and Hubs is between me and the other vehicle. I wasn't aware at the time, but these kid adults had been sitting in their car the entire time he was unloading our spoils of war into the trunk, mocking and jeering at him for basic things, like what he's wearing on his shirt. It was a Pokemon Go logo, if anyone cares, and other trivial things. Once I got there, however, all the focus turned towards me. It took me a second to realise that they were actually addressing us, but soon I could make out what they were saying. They were laughing at my husband, asking him if he actually effed a whale like me. Now, I'm no string bean by a long shot. I have some decent curves going on, so they have honed in my size and appearance. In my defence, does anyone really dress up to go to Walmart at 2 a.m? And encourage each other to keep throwing pot shots in our directions at the fact that we're together. Anything they could think to do to make fun of us. Being the sensitive, self-conscious soul that I am, I could already feel my eyes start to water. I figured we would just finish what we were doing and leave them behind with their gloating and foolishness. But Hubs wasn't going to have any of it. It was one thing, according to him, for them to mock him, but when they started being cruel about me, he had hit his limit. He's truly a non-violent man, but he was so riled up at what they were saying that he balled up his fist, raised his voice and told them to shut up, with a decent smack against a whole side window, which had already been rolled up upon Hub's approach. My knight in shining armour came to my defence. That action caused a series of quick, chaotic reactions. The young men, three of them, started angrily yelling, and I distinctly heard one of them ask the other if he wanted his gun, to which the ringleader said, yeah, give it. Holy pokeballs. I tell my hubs to get into the car, in a panicked rush, decided to abandon the shopping cart in front of their car, in hopes of creating an obstacle for them. I fling myself into the SUV at this point. One young man had started smacking on the hood of our car, while the other steps behind it, trying to block us in. I vividly remember through my blurry vision seeing a young woman in the back seat of their vehicle looking somewhat embarrassed as she mouthed, "I'm sorry," in my direction. No time to think about that. not with the ringleader appearing from the car at any moment. Hubs pulls the car into reverse, and the young man behind us has no choice but to move, unless he's to become a human pancake. Hubs drives off out of the parking lot like a bat out of heck, and it's clearly evident that my car obstacle did a little to delay them, as their Dodge Dart was right on our tail, flying down the road right behind us. We made it through one green light before they caught up, sliding in the bus lane next to us as I'm trying to remember to breathe. Thoughts go in 100 different directions, thanks to my ADD brain. I see the passenger window roll down, and out comes a hand with a gun pointed right into my, or rather my husband's direction. I scream something to the effect of them having a gun, though I'm sure it came out as incoherent shrieking in actuality. My husband got the point though, and chose that moment to swerve directly into them with our vehicle, leaving no choice but them to drive to the median or be hit by a bigger vehicle going 70 or 80 miles an hour. They swerved, which slowed them down, so my husband hit the gas and kept driving, ignoring red lights along the way. Finally putting myself together, I dialed 911 on my cell phone, since the police station wasn't exactly nearby. The operator arranged to have some cops meet us at a local church a mile or two from where we currently were. My husband keeps driving forward, car still at hills, and he somehow managed to swerve a turn in the middle of the intersection, whilst making it like we'd intended to go forward. Other car flies on, we tell it to the cops at the church. They took down our statements and sent a few cars out to try and find them. I was completely useless when it came to details, but my husband came through to save the day, and could tell them the make, model and colour of the car, and describe details about the individuals. All I could remember in my mind was the face of the girl who mouthed I'm sorry, and lo and behold, I kid you not, one of the officers took us to his car, flipped through his fancy police computer on the screen, and popped up an image of the same girl I'd seen in the Walmart parking lot. Another click and the same young men, save for one, were put onto the screen. Apparently, these upstanding citizens have been confronted by the police department only nights prior. I wish I could remember the charges, but my mind was overwhelmed at that point. Most of the details are a blur, like my mind tried to intentionally redact things to protect itself or something. Anyway, needless to say, I developed a genuine anxiety about going to Walmart in the middle of the night after that point. Thankfully, we've both transitioned into daytime jobs since then, so we share the pain of daywalkers' normal grocery store woes these days. This incident happened at my ex-girlfriend's. We were really good friends. Friend's house. He is a single dad, who I'll call Scott. At the time of this incident, Scott's daughter was just shy of 4 years old. Scott lives in a pretty old house in LA, wood floors, and was built in the 20s. It's a modest two-bedroom house, where it's just him and his daughter. Scott is a complete skeptic when it comes to the paranormal, but even he says his house feels creepy at times. The odd knock here, faint footsteps there, pretty much the usual creepy old house noises in his opinion. He does wake up from time to time, hearing his daughter talking to her imaginary friend, whilst also having a deep and intense feeling of dread. He chalks this up to sleep paralysis and his toddler being a toddler. Anyway, fast forward to the day of the incident. His daughter was busy playing with toys in some sort of empty den he has, where she has a few toys in the corner of the room. It's a pretty handy place for her to play while he works from home, and he can still keep an eye out on her. She's playing away, having her normal conversations with her friend. This time Scott was curious and asked what they were talking about. She giggled and said she was asking for her to go to the house and play with her. "Where does she live, honey?" She shrugs her shoulders and answers, "I don't know." Then she hops up and tells her dad that she's right there in the room. She then starts asking for her dad to take pictures of both of them. Now Scott doesn't really believe his daughter is talking with a ghost. His daughter is at the age where she's fascinated with photos and cameras and any sort of technology really. Scott, being the good dad he is, pulls his phone out and starts taking pictures. At first, he just snaps one or two and is trying to get his daughter to smile. He then starts taking bursts of photos and sort of teasing and playing with his daughter. He says, "Tell your friend to smile too," trying to make his daughter feel like she isn't strange for having an imaginary friend. Well, when he says this, she gets a very serious face and says, "Dad, Lily never smiles." Something about the way she said that sent chills down his spine. What's worse is, later he's scrolling through the burst of photos he took earlier and was deleting one after the other. He was really cleaning up the folder so it wasn't full of the same pictures over and over. Anyway, he's swiping and deleting, until he ran into this photo. What's attached, I think, is the best ghost picture I've ever seen. I realise you read stories on here, and the stories are far more interesting than the photos, but this is too good to pass up. I've been trying to get this out to anyone that will see it and talk about it. I'm not looking for 15 minutes or money or recognition of any kind. I've left my name and particulars out of this because it's irrelevant to the story. I just want people to see this and hear what they think it could be. I'm open-mindedly skeptical, if that makes sense. I've never seen anything like this. Amazingly, even though Scott saw this and thought it was very strange enough to keep and share with my ex, he still doesn't really believe it's a ghost. The room behind his door in the photo is completely empty. His toys aren't visible from where the photo was taken, so all you can see is the hardwood floors in the window. But in this photo, you can see a girl that is about 8 to 10 years old, if I had to guess. She's wearing a black dress with a white trim. She appeared to be blonde. I'm going to send you the original photo, and some of the same photo that I've marked up to blur my friend's daughter's face for privacy, and to point out the girl that doesn't belong in this photo. I wish you could have saved all the photos before that was taken in the same bursts, because you'd see that there is no girl in those. Besides his daughter, of course. All I can tell you, there are only 3 people that have this photo. You are the first YouTube creator I've sent this to. I know you'll be able to do it justice. Even if you don't ever feature this story, I'd really like your opinion on it. Anyway, thanks for your time. I'm sure you're busy. Keep up the great content. This story was posted on Mortis Media's community page on Reddit. You should definitely go check it out. I don't actually have the picture, as it was posted specifically for him, and I wouldn't want to share something that was intended just for him. The community page says anyone can narrate the stories on there, so I've narrated the story, but I don't have the picture for you. I'll be very interested to see it, and I'll be trying to contact the author. So, we used to go and have canyon parties in the desert every weekend. We would find crazy obscure spots, so there was no way the police could find us. The place we were at this week was called the Planetarium, because it was up on a plateau, so you could see the stars go all the way to the ground. 360 degrees, Idaho, is extremely mountainous, so this is incredibly rare. Usually, you only see the small upper section of the stars. I've always had trouble staying asleep in the morning after drinking, still do. I would get maybe 2 or 3 hours sleep, then be wide awake, while of course everyone else is sleeping off their hangover. I would be wide awake by 5 a.m. cooking breakfast, etc. I want to mention at this point that there's an Air Force base, Mountain Home Air Force Base, maybe 100 miles as the crows fly to the west of the planetarium, which may or may not be relevant. And INL, maybe 100 mile as the crows fly to the east. I'll talk more about it later. Okay, so I went to bed the night we partied at the planetarium around 2 a.m. and woke up as you could see the light changing from the dark of the night to the light blue of the morning. I had never seen the sunrise from such an angle where I had the high ground. Usually by the time I see the sun peak through the mountains, it had already been light for over an hour. So I decided I wanted to take this opportunity to see what it was like to watch the night turn to day, from total darkness to daylight, while being able to observe the sun crest, the actual horizon. I grabbed a pack of cigarettes and a beer, and went round to a nice comfortable rock I could sit on, facing east. It was by far the most amazing sunrise I've ever seen, because I was able to watch all the subtle changes in colour, second to second, within the sky, the landscape, the rocks and the plants all around me. The colours were literally moving in layers, quick and fleeting layers, one after another, to the point where my brain was almost unable to keep up with the speed it was all coming at me. I sat there for, I'm not sure how long, at least an hour, maybe two, as the sky and landscape around me went from starry and inky black to full daylight. Indescribable. I was elated, just smiling ear to ear with what I just witnessed, and it was just for me. No one else had been in this spot on the planet on that morning and witnessed what I alone had just witnessed. And I so thoroughly enjoyed what I had just personally experienced. The sun was now high enough in the sky, and I realised the transition was over. I was taking my last couple of drags of my last cigarette, before I was going to get up and turn around to cook breakfast. Right as I had this thought, I heard what sounded like a giant bird flapping its wings to take off. You know the sound I'm talking about, but this was loud, right behind me, and startled me beyond belief. In fight or flight, for a millisecond, my brain considered the fact that an eagle thought I was prey. Irrational, I know, but survival kicked in. I turned to see a 7 or 8 foot bird taking off behind me. I say bird with a question mark because, to be honest, what it looked like was a man with a mask on, making it look like he had a beak of a parrot or a toucan or some jungle bird and a bird suit. It was multicolour, iridescent, and very convincing as a bird. Same with his wings and feathers and everything. Everything about it was a bird, other than the fact he was man-shaped and a good 2 feet taller than me. It was as if this thing had read my mind, realised I was just about to stand up and turn around, and it, was startled by the fact I turned around right then and I would see him. I heard those wings flutter and flap, turned around and saw this thing for a split second as it spread its wings, which at least were 20 to 25 feet in wingspan, and flapped its wings once with so much force it propelled into the sky at the rate of speed faster than a fighter jet, with absolutely no sound. I saw it, way up there in the sky. It made it so incredibly far with one flap of its wings that it was almost in the clouds. He was stopped there for just a moment before he spread those immense wings once more and he flapped them for a second time. He was gone to the south in a streak. I don't know how to explain what I felt in that moment. I was not on any drugs other than a breakfast Budweiser and nicotine, and I knew what I'd just seen. I wasn't in shock, I wasn't even stunned really. I was just in awe of what I'd just witnessed. There was no way for it to be a trick of the eye, or a mind trick, any of that. I guess I just had no frame of reference in my life experience files to compare it to. I knew what I'd just seen was real, and I knew that there was nothing in the world that real that it could have been. Back then, I thought for sure it was an alien, a god to the ancients, a thunderbird to natives, a Kolkolden to the Maya, a Quetzalcoatl to the Aztecs. Today, I wonder if it may have been some sort of suit, some sort of technology. Who's to say these things aren't one and the same? The thing I think about most these days when I think of this story is, how long had he been there, maybe 6 feet behind me, watching the sunrise with me, watching me watch the sunrise, and he just enjoying how much I was enjoying the sunrise, just choosing to take the time to appreciate the beauty of the planet with a Homo sapien. He was just appreciating the beauty of the planet and had absolutely no idea that he was doing so. If it was there to take him as prey, it could have very much done that. That's not why he was there. He didn't act like a predator when I saw him. He acted cool, like I was never supposed to see him. I have many more stories from the deserts in Idaho. Idaho is one of the largest and most sparsely populated states, with vast, vast expanses of terrain for anything to hide, test, or make their home. Just simply live without ever coming into 100 miles of human unless they want to. I spoke to Idaho National Laboratory earlier, which has a huge facility in the desert near Acro, and is so incredibly secretive about what they do there, that basically the public has actually no idea what they do there. They say that it's a matter of national security. I do know for sure that the security there is just as bad as Area 51, because a buddy of mine who's a paraglider got caught in some massive thermals, accidentally landed on INL property, and was promptly escorted to the highway by a pair of security guards in a military Humvee, military uniforms, with automatic weapons and German Shepherds. I'm just adding context here. If the military were just going to test something secretive, they wouldn't do it in Area 51, where everyone is watching. They would do it someplace that no one's even aware has a facility. Hi everyone. This is the part of the episode where I just waffle on, so most of you guys know what I do here, so there are no more stories from this point, but if you're interested in just hearing me waffle on, then that's what we're doing right now. I know I said I wouldn't upload a video for a while because of my dog passing away, but at the minute it's Tuesday the 19th as I'm recording this part. I still haven't finished all the stories for this episode actually, but obviously you would have listened to them by now. But I just thought I'd record something because I was recording. I've probably done like 25 minutes of recording, but I just wanted a break from it, so I'm just going to talk. It was my birthday a couple of days ago, and it was quite nice, really. Even though we're in lockdown, I love cheeseburgers, so I had like loads of cheeseburgers and like chips and just ate whatever I wanted and cake and stuff. And yeah, I'm 24, by the way, so I feel quite old now, to be honest. But I mean, I know I'm still young, but like, you just feel older, don't you, when you get a bit older. But I mean, it's not like it's any different to like being 19 or 20. It's like exactly the same. You feel the same. But yeah, it's just a bit strange, isn't it, when you think, oh, fucking hell, like, when I was 19, I was thinking people that are like 24 were quite old. Actually, probably when I was like 18 or 17, I thought that. But here I am. I don't know if you heard that, but this is the annoying thing about recording where I live, because I live next to a main road, and the people go past on like mopeds and like in their like souped up cars, like rapid down my road. They go down like 60 miles an hour, and my road's like a 20 mile an hour zone. And it's really annoying because like it's really noisy when I'm recording, so I have to stop all the time. That happens quite a lot. It's so frustrating because like I'll be right in the middle of something and it really puts me off. And people like race down my road and stuff, and it is quite irritating. What is there to talk about? I quite like talking about random stuff at this part of my episode. Well, if you're listening to this on YouTube, then thank you for all the support I've been getting recently. It's really nice. And also on my podcast, if you listen to this on my podcast, then thank you as well. I'm recording this section for both, and I'm going to start adding this into my podcast too, because I know some people do like it. I do it all the time on YouTube, but I don't always put it into my podcast, but I don't really care. I'm just going to waffle on my podcast as well. I'm thinking for my podcast, I'm going to do some more stories, like themed story videos, and I'd like to do more like serial killer stuff and like weird mystery stuff, but I just need to find some things to do. And I also want to do it with somebody, like talking at the same time as someone else, because I think it just makes it more interesting rather than me going on about something. But I might have to do it on my own for a while until I find people to do it with. But I mean, I know I could get a couple of people who would do it, but I don't have that many like podcasting or YouTube like close friends. Like, I get on with most people, but I don't really have any close friends or anything, because I just don't really talk to that many people. I talk to people in real life, but even then I don't have like a really massive friend group. I just get on with most people. I've got a few close friends. For my birthday I don't know if I've said this before, I might have done, I collect dinosaur fossils. So if any of you guys collect dinosaur fossils, please tell me in the comments what ones you've got, and like send me a picture on Instagram or Twitter. My thing is, my username is TCPG_1. If you just type in that creepypasta guy, it will come up. I've got a Nanotyrannus tooth, which I've wanted for ages, but I'm just so tight sometimes, I just don't spend the money on myself. But my girlfriend got me that, and it's really nice. I love it. It's so cool. And, so any of you guys have any fossils or anything, then let me know, because I love that sort of stuff. I'd love to see pictures of what you've got and everything. I love it. Like, I love football and, like, gym stuff, but I love dinosaur stuff. I used to want to be a paleontologist, but, I've got a story about that, which is not exactly that exhilarating, but England, if you want to go to uni, you have to do a UCAS application, and I didn't really understand how it worked like a year ago, so I applied for I could get into paleontology stuff, but it wasn't like a very well sort of recognized course, and you'd have to do like geology with it. So I did my UCAS application based on paleontology, and then I got an offer, and I was thinking like, I can't bother to do geology really. So I did another application for physiotherapy, which is what I'm doing now, and I accidentally used my geology application form and sent it to all the physiotherapy courses, so that they would get back to me saying no. And I was like, why are they saying no? Like, I'm qualified for like to get into it. And then someone called me, and like one of the lecturers, he's like, I'm worried that you're not interested in physio. And I was like, no, I am. And he's like, and I've read your UCAS thing. I was like, oh shit, because it was all talking about like dinosaurs and stuff and like my interests. But yeah, no, I'm into the physio one now. I love physio stuff as well. That's one of my passions, like the fitness side of stuff as well, and injury rehabilitation I love. But yeah, it's a bit of a crap story really, isn't it? But yeah, do you know what I hate about winter as well? Like, as I've been recording, it's been getting darker and darker. Like, it gets dark at like 3:45, it's getting dark. I actually hate it. I like summer where it's like late and still bright outside, and In England, it's constantly cold and it's absolutely freezing at the minute. So it's really annoying where you're like, I don't know, you just don't get any daylight. It's always like cold and raining and overcast in England. So like you never really have nice weather anyway. And then it's just dark and cold, raining and overcast. It's not very nice. I wish I lived somewhere like, some of you guys I know live in like really hot countries. Like some of you guys from like Texas and like the south of America, and it's like it's hot all the time, and I'm just so jealous because like it's bollock numbingly cold all the time here. Like I do like it in England, but I think I'd rather have lived in a hot country, if you know what I mean. Like I'd love to live in like Florida or something, but I don't know. Yeah, I just wish it was like a bit warmer. Really. Like in the summer, it can be quite nice, but we only get like 3 weeks of summer, which is really annoying. And I'm trying to think of anything else that I can talk about actually, because I do waffle on a lot. What have you guys been up to? I always like hearing that in the comments. Like, what have you guys been doing at the moment? Like, what's been going on in your lives? Have you been doing anything, or like, what's been going on? Like I said with me, I've been a bit of a like crap time really with my dog passing away, and I've got exams coming up, and it's just, I don't know, I just can't be bothered. Do you know, like I'm getting on with it, like you just have to, don't you? You just have to get on with it, but I just feel like, do you know what I mean? But I don't know, just a bit draining, isn't it? Also, I've signed up for some like running. It's like a virtual running thing. I can't remember the name of the company. I think it's Conquer or something. But it's like a virtual running thing, and you get really cool medals at the end of it. Like at the minute, I'm doing like a British Channel one, so you have to do like 21 miles, but it's like cumulative, and you get like a really cool medal. It's like £25, and I know you're just paying for the medal, but it's what motivates me to like go out and go for runs and stuff. Because like where I said, where it's really cold and everything, I can't always be bothered, but that does motivate me quite a lot. Also, I've noticed like since I've been doing these things where I talk at the start of episodes, I've had quite a lot of support from people. Like more people seem to want to engage, which is something I should have done in the past, to be honest, because like, I always love the comments. I don't know why I didn't just talk at the end of videos, but I like the idea that this is like a place where people can come. It's like our own sort of like community sort of thing, you know. Like you can come here and just talk if you want, like. You can just put the video on, even if you're not watching the video, you can write in the comments and stuff, and everyone can be here, and it's like a sort of like a safe place for people to come. I really like that, and that's what I want it to be honest, because I know there's so many like bigger channels where like they don't really have that connection, do they? And like they pretend they do, you know, and I'm not going to name any names, but there's some bigger channels that everyone seems to love as well. That I don't know, like there's a couple of bigger horror channels that I won't name, but people absolutely love them, and like they're massive channels. And then it's like I don't like these people very much, you know. Cause I've spoke to a couple of them, I've heard things about them, and it's like they're just not very nice people. But you guys obviously would never see that unless you was involved in it. And that's another reason I don't talk to that many people, because there's so many like snaky people in that sort of community of it. And I don't know, I just can't be bothered for it. I don't really have much patience with most people. Like I'm always very nice to people and like laid back, but I'm reserved, but I'm quite shy as well, so I wouldn't put myself out there with groups of people. But I don't know, you know, there's like, I'm not going to mention the name, like it keeps like I almost slipped out a couple of times, but you know, sort of people that they think they're something special. Now they've got a few followers, they think they're something special, and I just don't like it. I can't be bothered. Like, it's a YouTube channel, mate. Like, it's nothing special, is it? It's just, I don't know, it just winds me up a little bit. But what was I even saying? I don't actually know. Oh, no, I was talking about, like, the community side of this. That's what I really want with this channel. Like, I want it to be, like, a scary stories, like, community sort of thing with, like, my channel. Like, completely separate from anybody else, any other channels, because I don't watch any other channels really. So this is like, I love engaging with all of you, I love talking to all of you, like finding out where you're from, what you're doing and everything, and you can just talk about whatever here. And yeah, I don't think there's much else for me to say. No, not really. I wish I had a bigger bedroom. That's a bit of a weird complaint, but yeah, my room's tiny. And it's boiling hot in here. The heating's blasting. I'm sweating out. So I'm going to go. But thank you for all of your support, as always. I really appreciate it. And thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye.